missed last week, my homework for you is to listen to last week's sermon, because last week's sermon is kind of the precursor to this week's sermon, which will be the precursor for next. So doing something a little different here, three-part series that all kind of connects into one big sermon with three different parts. And we're talking about, what does it look like to hear from God? Hearing from God, what does that look like? Last week I mentioned some stories, personal stories. I have more of those. But what we wanted to do last week was just acknowledge God still speaks. That was the basis of the sermon. And if you aren't hearing God, it's not that he's not speaking. It's just that we need to learn about our listening skills. But he is still speaking. And today, we're going to dive a little bit deeper of what does that look like. So if you have your Bibles, open up to 1 Kings chapter 19. We're going to begin there. I'm going to give you a little bit of a background. And this is a story about Elijah. Elijah was a prophet. This was when Israel was a country. They had kings. And they were not following God. Instead, they were following the god Baal. Small g god. And so Elijah just has this duel with all these Baal worshipers. And so they have their altar, Elijah has his altar with God, and they try to set it on fire without doing anything, and they have a cow, and they're like whipping themselves, and they're shouting, and all these Baal worshipers are doing that, and after hours and hours and hours, nothing happens. And then Elijah steps up, and he prays to God, and the cow lights on fire. Everybody acknowledges who God is. The Baal worshipers get slaughtered, and everyone is in awe except for the queen. Queen Jezebel is very upset, and she wants Elijah to be killed. So she is on a mission to kill Elijah. Elijah hears about this, and he goes running. What I love about that particular story is Elijah, who just saw big things happen, he's still human. He still gets scared. And he's still a little bit of fear in him. He just saw the miraculous happen, but when he heard that the queen wants him dead, he goes running. And he goes running to Mount Carmel, where he knows the presence of the Lord has been. And he goes there to hear and to inquire of the God Almighty. And that's where we pick up right now, that he's on the mountain. He's in a cave after a long journey. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 9 is where we pick up. And the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied. I've been very zealous for you, Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. And the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord. For the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Would we pray with me, Lord, would we be able to discern what your voice is and what your voice is not? Lord, thank you for communicating with us, for being in relationship with us. Lord, open up our hearts to hear what you have to say to us this morning. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. So last week, I told a story of a personal story of did I hear from God or not? Another story was when Ellie, my oldest daughter, the last week that she was here on earth, we were in the room with her, and at all times, either Kate or myself was holding her hand. And one night, while Kate was in the room with her, and this is after Kate's parents had left, and I would, and all the kids were asleep, I went out into the living room, and I went to pray. We have two Sonos speakers in our house, and at that whole week, they were always, always, always playing worship music, to the point where they got beyond our playlist, and they were just playing random worship music songs. And so This particular night, about 2 days before Ellie passed, I was starting to think, okay, God, I see your healing in the Gospels, right? You see Jesus heal, bring the dead back to life, all these things. But what about now? Now that you've been resurrected, now what about what's going on today? And so I looked at Acts, right? Acts is when the church was launched, when Jesus had sent his Holy Spirit. And I looked at Acts chapter 4, verse 30. And this is what I was meditating on that particular night. And this is what it says. The church was saying, stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So I'm reading this verse over and over and over again. I'm like, all right, God, so post-resurrection, stretch your hand out to heal, perform signs and wonders, and I want to see the earth shake. I kid you not, as I was reading this, in our kitchen Sonos, the volume went from like 10% to 100%, blasted my little house to the point where I was afraid that it would wake up our kids. And here is what was playing. And to this day, I went to Kate. I'm like, Kate, did you raise the volume? She's like, no, I didn't touch it. I didn't raise it. Some weird thing to this day. I have no idea why the volume went from 10 to 100%. And I just want to read the lyrics that were being sung. It was the bridge of a song called Breakthrough by the band Red Rocks. And this was on repeat over and over again in the bridge. There will be victory here. There will be victory here. We believe, shake the mountains. Shake the mountains, shake the mountains. And so here I am, I'm literally on my knees. That is blaring for no reason at all on that bridge. As I'm reading, the world was shaken because he's healing and performing signs. And I'm thinking, God, what are you saying? 2 days go by, and Ellie enters in the presence of our Lord Jesus. And today, I wonder, God, were you speaking? How do we know when God is speaking, and what in the world does that look like? In this passage in 1 Kings, we see two things happening. We see one, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. He said, what are you doing here? Later, when all the thunder and lightning and the whisper came, same question, what are you doing here? So what's going on here? Scholars still don't know what the first was. Was it a vision? Was it a dream? Some say when you hear the word of the Lord came. When you read John chapter 1, the word was the Lord and the Lord was God. You know, you say, well, was it Jesus, right? So maybe it was Jesus and maybe it was the Holy Spirit. Maybe it was, we don't know, but there is two different speakings. The second one we know is obviously God the Father Almighty. We ask God to speak to us, but I ask you, do you really want him to? It is terrifying when God the Almighty speaks to us. If you go back to Exodus chapter 20, when the Israelites are there by Mount Sinai, Moses is going to the mountain, same kind of picture, thunder, lightning, cloud. And this is what the Israelites say. When the people saw the thunder and the lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and they said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die. See, God's voice and God's presence is more powerful than we can comprehend. The creator of the heavens and the earth. And when he speaks, it is just not just something that you ignore. It is big. It is powerful to the point where Elijah is terrified. The Israelites say, I don't want to hear it. I would rather someone speak for him. And out of his grace, that's exactly what he's done. He's given us the scriptures. He's given us people to speak truths. And I look at this verse and I say, well, if you are going to speak in other ways, why all the thunder and why all the lightning and why the storm? He didn't speak in that. He spoke after that. And here's what I think. I think God was trying to get Elijah's attention. I think God will shake things up to wake us up. I think the storm comes often for us to lean in and to God to grab our attention, to grab our ear. But maybe that's not him speaking. Maybe that's him just getting our attention. C.S. Lewis says this. He said, pain insists upon being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our consciences, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. So when a storm of your life comes, maybe it's not God speaking, but maybe it's God saying, I want you to pay attention to me. Because the reality is this. Max Lucado says this in A Gentle Thunder. If God had to choose between your eternal safety and your earthly comfort, what do you think he will choose? He would choose your eternal safety. And what do we do when he gets our attention? How do we react? All right, God, you got my attention. Maybe there's a big storm in your life going on right now. Okay, I'm all ears. Now what do we do? We see in this story that God whispers. The word whisper in Hebrew is defined as a calmness, a stillness, a silence, a whisper. God is not going to shout over the noise in your life. Isn't this what we want? God, if I'm not paying attention, would you just speak louder? We talked about this last week, right? He's not going to kick the door open into our hearts. He's going to wait and knock for us to open the door. He's not going to shout over the voices in your life, the noise, your work, your family, your kids, your marriages, everything that's happening around. We tend to focus on that and not focus on God and say, God, if you want my attention, you're going to have to speak a little louder because I got a lot going on here. And what God's saying is, if you want to hear me, you have to pay attention. See, when someone whispers to you, two things happen. One, they have your undivided attention and they are close. If someone's going to say, I need to tell you something, you're going to say, shh, everyone, be quiet. And you're going to get close, and you're going to pay attention, and you're going to say, speak. Shh, I got to tell you something. Someone says, God whispers because he's close. Are you close enough to God where you would hear the whisper of him? Or are we wanting a cell phone text message relationship with him? I want to hear from you when it's convenient for me. I want you to be a part of the craziness. I cannot separate this. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1 through 5 says this. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. So when you go to God, to the presence of the Lord, it says, go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they do is wrong. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth, so let your words be few. Pastor Tony Evans, who's down in Dallas, he sums it up and he says, this is what the author is saying, shut up and listen. When you come to God, would your words be few and would your mouth be shut and your ears be open? If you're like me, I don't like the silence. So I want to fill it with words. But what Ecclesiastes is saying is like, no, come ready to hear. So how do we do that? Well, first, we need to be in a position to listen. We need to be in a position to listen. And Mark Batterson, in his book Whisper, says it's the whispering spots. He used the example of going to the Capitol building. I never knew this, and maybe some of you guys are big into politics, but in the Capitol building, in the main area where they all meet, there is a spot where the acoustics are such that you can stand here and you can hear other people whispering across about 100 yards away. The whispering spot. You're strategically placed in a position where you can hear a whisper. If you go downtown to Newburyport on the boardwalk, there's that little bench that is kind of like makes a half circle. If you stand in the middle, you will shout and everything's magnified. If you go on one side of the bench and someone goes on the other and you whisper, you can hear them because the acoustics are such. It's in a whispering spot. We see this in Scripture. Daniel would go to a rooftop and pray. Jesus, over and over again, would remove himself from the crowds to go to the wilderness, to go to his whispering spot, so he could hear the voice of the Lord. I'm going to physically remove myself from the distractions and the voices of the world so I can listen to what God has to say to me. Mark Batterson says this, change of pace and change of place equal a change of perspective. A change of pace, a change of place equals a change of perspective. And I know many people here are young families and they're thinking, well, you know what? I would love to have a couple hours, an hour, 10 minutes, 1 minute alone. I hear you, especially since I'm ADHD. So I'm just giving a couple disclaimers of like, for myself, I don't like to sit still at all. When I go into my whispering spot, so many times I come out with a bigger to-do list than I had going in. So I'm like, oh, you know what, you know, God, would you, like, you know, I need to do the trash. Man, we should get a new trash can. Maybe it has it on Amazon. You guys been there? And you start, I'm like, oh, no, you keep getting, so I get it. Sometimes at home, I'll go into the bathroom, not because I need to go to the bathroom, but just I just want to be away from my kids. I just want the quiet. But it takes intentionality. And I don't want people to say, my life circumstances are so crazy. The voices are so demanding of work, of family life, of what's going on, my mental health. I can't do it. I can't say it enough. We can't afford not to do it. If you aren't going to take the time to listen and do what he says, then why do you even ask? Mark Batterson says this, if you aren't willing to hear everything God has to say, eventually you won't hear anything he has to say. So let's say we're in our whispering spot. We're waiting for God to speak. What are we expecting to hear? I need this job. Take the job. Should I marry this person or not? No. Is that what we're expecting? I think this is something that we all struggle with. About 2 weeks ago, I was at the beach, and I was with my kids. Kate was at home, and they actually gave me some space to read, and it was fantastic. So I'm reading, actually, the book Whisper, and as I'm reading, there was about 100 yards away from me, there was this girl on a blanket, reading. I don't know what she was doing, but she was very far, and no one else was on the beach. It was early in the morning. These two ladies come walking. They're probably in their 60s. They come walking, and, you know, and they're like power walking. One of them veers off towards this girl in the blanket who is like either asleep or listening to a podcast. I don't know what she's doing. And she writes something in the sand, and then she goes and meets up with her friend, and they keep walking. So I'm reading Whisper, and I'm reading about signs and wonders. This is literally what I'm, and I'm like, huh, what in the world did she just write? So I'm curious, so I get up, and I walk over there to kind of like pretend to check on my kids. Really, I just want to read what was said. And it said, no Jesus, no hope. And I'm like, huh. And then I'm like, does this girl need that? Did God prompt this lady to do that? I don't know. I don't know what's going on here. My mom tells a story about a couple years ago. She went to the beach, drove to the beach, pleading with God in prayer. Someone just knocks on the door of her car, says, God told me to give this to you. She opens up the note and says, God hears your prayers. It's like, huh, is this what we're expecting? Wouldn't that be great? If all of a sudden, like, all right, God, I'm in my whispering spot. Let's say you're out on your porch and you're there, you got your coffee. All right, God, what do you have to say? Then you hear a bird that sounds quite a bit like invest in something, and you're like, okay, Bitcoin it is. Is this what we're hoping? God will not say anything new, but he may say the things he's already said in new ways. I want to press into this because I feel like this is so, so needed. God is a God who doesn't change. His word is enough. He has given us so much. He's not going to say anything new that he hasn't already said before. And I want you to be encouraged by that because when things change, it kind of is hard to understand what's going on. How many of you were like me? The hardest thing about COVID were all the changes. in the very beginning, if you make eye contact with someone, you're going to die. Right? Now you're like, okay, now you got to wear a mask. And all right. And then you can't breathe. It's not airborne. No, it is airborne. It's not airborne. Cloth masks are the worst. Or you need N90 masks. You can't touch anybody. You have to touch anyone. You want to get it. You don't want to get it. Right? And you're just like, what in the world is going on? To the point where there's so many changes that you start saying, well, what is true? See, this is what happens when there are things that are inconsistent, where God doesn't change and God remains the same. He said, no, I have told you what's truth. That's not going to change. I've told you that, you know, my love for you hasn't changed. My stance on sex ethics hasn't changed. My desire for us to give 10% has not changed. My desire for you to take a rest has not changed. My desire to you to be like me has not changed. I am not changing, but I'm going to help you communicate to you the ways that I've already told you how to live your life. As a parent, the best thing we can do as parents is be consistent, right? In our household, the big battle is, do we do snacks before dinner? And how close to dinner? And if we're inconsistent, it just gets derailed. So if I say, you know what, I'm lazy, you know what, we're going to eat in 10 minutes, but you know what, have a bag of goldfish. Well, guess what happens the next day? They don't even ask. I'm eating goldfish. What are you doing? It's dinner time. Well, you said yesterday. I'm like, well, today's different. And I made a mistake last time. Well, what should I do? Not eat goldfish? Not eat? Like, no, you do what I say when I say. I don't know what you mean. You're changing all the time. See, as parents, the best thing for us is consistency. And God is the best parent ever. The Father God Almighty is the most consistent. His love for us has not changed for our benefit. And what he wants us to do is he wants us to remember who he is and what he said. Did you know that when you read the Gospels, Jesus asked over 300 questions? I kind of think about that's kind of maddening, right? He only answers, there's a book out there that says the three questions that Jesus really only answers. One being, teach us how to pray. Okay, let me teach you how to pray. But even to the point where the disciples come to him and say, Jesus, who are you? You would think that Jesus would say, okay, let me tell you who I am. But you know what he replies? So frustrating. Who am I? Who do you think I am? Well, then one says, well, you're Elijah. Well, you're John the Baptist. And then Peter's like, you are the Son of God, the Messiah. And Jesus almost says, like, you got it. Right? This is not 300 questions. You look at the scriptures. It's maddening. Where do we go? Where do you think you should go? How do we do this? Well, you heard it say, it's like, I don't care. Just tell me what to do. And what God is saying, I've already told you. I just need you to recognize what I've already said. When God asks a question, he already knows the answer. He asks a question because he wants us to know the answer. This is counseling 101. I'm not a counselor, but it's helping the person realize what they already know. Yes, there's some tools and stuff, but there's a lot of questions. And what it is having them process that whole experience. Because a lot of people say, well, I just want to be told what to do. But the reality is you probably know what you want or need to do. I just want to help you to do it, what you already know. Tony Evans has this great sermon, and he uses the Bible as an analogy for news. So, for instance, God's word is here in the news. And he said, the Bible is like national news. Whatever news you like, CNN, Fox News, whatever it is that you guys listen to, this is the Bible. So, the Queen of England dies. It's on all the news. It's national news. May not affect you personally, but it's there. This is what national news. There's big truths for everyone to know. Major revelations. But, he said, the spirit is more like the local news. And let me give you an example. 2 weeks ago, I found out that there is a bear roaming in our neighborhood. We live in Newberry, Byfield, which is part of Newberry. There's no bears around here, so this is big news. Big news for me, not maybe for you who live somewhere else. Big news for me. And I'm like, how do I find out about this bear? I want to find out about my bird feeders, like Drew, looks like you could be a nice snack for a bear. What do I do? So I start looking for closer news. Does Boston News has any of this? No, they don't have anything. So then I finally go to nice people of Newberry. I go right to the court, and there is all my bear information. They're tracking the bear. I found out 3 houses down, the bear ate their honey. And I'm like, okay, there's a bear here. I got the news that affects me. Doesn't affect you, affects me. There's a bear in my neighborhood. And so what happens is the Bible is the national news. This is the big truth. And the Holy Spirit comes in and gives us more of a local news view on all this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says this. This is what Paul says in verse 9 through 12. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 12. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For he knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them. In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. When we have received, what we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. The Spirit helps us understand what God has already said and who God is. Tony Evans says the Spirit is like a Google search. You're struggling. You know, I need to know. Here's my situation. I need to know what to do. You type it in, the Spirit reveals something. The Bible gives us revelation, but the Spirit gives you illumination. The Bible tells us the truth, and the Spirit will illuminate when we need it and what we need. Rick Warren says this, stop waiting for a voice and start looking for a verse. And what I love about God's consistency is he's not going to override his communication structure. He's not going to override his word. He's not going to override the method of the church, us, people who are doing life together. He has structured his building of his kingdom would be in a communal focus with his scripture at the center. For instance, even when he provides the supernatural, which I believe God does, it points him back to his primary methods of communication, his scripture and his people. So I read a book about all these Muslims who are having these dreams of Jesus. Every single one, when they woke up, they said, I felt a peace, I felt the presence of the Lord, but yet they did not become a Christian at that time. Many of these dreams, at the end, it said, I want you to go here at this time, and you're going to see a man that will look like this. They'll go there, and they'll see a man, they'll go to the man, and this man was a missionary. This happened over and over again, and this missionary is like, come with me, let me teach you the ways of Jesus. Because he's going to point us to his primary places of communication. You look at Paul. This is what the kids are learning right now. Saul becoming Paul. He's on the road to Damascus. Big light comes. Jesus talks to him. He gets blinded. But he doesn't become a Christian at that time. It's an attention grabber like the storms we talked about. It woke him up a little bit. But then there's this guy named Ananias who was a follower. And God says, Ananias, I need you to go to Paul. And I need you to teach him the ways of me. And he does, and for 3 years, Paul learns how to follow Jesus because God wants to use his method of communication. Philip and the Ethiopian. Philip is transported to this Ethiopian who's reading the book of Isaiah. And he goes, and the eunuch was like, I don't know what this means. So Philip sits down and starts to describe, like, this is what this is saying. And then all of a sudden, Philip disappears. Supernatural to lead to his primary ways of communication. I read a little book about story after story. One book was how God supernaturally intervened. One book was a man, he's in bed. His whole family is going to a church service. He's not a church guy. I'm not going to go. And he hears his voice, go to church. And he's like, whoa. He thinks it's something else, goes back to bed, go to church. He's like, whoa, this happened 3 times. So finally, he's like, fine, whatever's happening, I'm going to follow. He goes to church, and there he becomes saved and becomes a follower of Jesus. Why didn't God just speak, become a follower of Jesus? There's a woman who was terrified about so many things happening, and she's praying, God, God, would you help me? And a voice says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, quoting scripture. personal story of mine. The first time I really, really felt the presence of the Lord, I was in seventh grade, and I'm alone by myself. My parents were out. It's just me. I had my BB gun and my beagle with my dog, who's not going to do anything, and I'm terrified, and I'm trying to sleep. My Bible was always there, just more for looks. I didn't really open it up. More for a guilt thing, you know. Sunday school, open your Bible. Like, yeah, if I put it there, maybe I will open it. Didn't happen. Now, all of a sudden, Psalm 56 kind of just is on my heart. I don't know even where the Psalms were. I open Psalm 56, and it starts off, "When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. What can mere mortals do to me?" And I remember, like, whoa. And I went right to bed. See, God's method was just scripture. I just want to remind you of who I am and what I've said. And he's given us people to help interpret his word. He's given us people to help to encourage us. But some of you may feel like, you know what? If I put in a Google search to recall something that I've read, it's really just going to bring up John 3:16. Over and over again. I don't know enough scripture to have a database that's way in here. So what do I do? Well, one, I would say, you know what? Why don't you start reading Genesis 1? So start. Get in the Word. There's so many great verses. But I understand that you have a lot of catching up to do. So I also think that the Spirit also encourages us just to know that God is present. If you feel like you don't have a database, maybe God's saying, you know what, that will come. But I just need to know that I am here and that I know. Philip, before he became a disciple, he was very, very skeptical. What good can come out of Nazareth? So he sees Jesus. And what Jesus says, and this is what won Philip over, is, "You don't know me, but I saw you under the fig tree." Basically, he was saying, you don't know me, but guess what? I know you. Jerry Stetzer, he lost his mom, his wife, and his daughter all in the same car accident. And he was bringing up a story about his youngest, who was about a year old when his mother died. And she's a teenager at this point. And he said, "Dad, everyone's telling stories about mom. I don't know mom. I was too young. I don't know who she was." So Jerry sat down and started to tell her about the stories that her mother used to tell her. Tell her stories about the games, the time that she spent. And he said at the end, his daughter was so relieved that even though she didn't know her mom, she was so comforted that her mom knew her. And he ends up and says this, "It's sometimes it's more important to be known than to know." I think the same with Drew and Ellie. You know, my two-year-old, like, was only about a year old when Ellie passed, and someday they were going to have that conversation. And unfortunately, we have videos after video of Ellie with Drew and say, you know what, you might have not known her, but she knew you. Sometimes that's all we need to hear. Maybe there's no scripture verse. Maybe there's no one coming to say, hey, this is what God's saying in his word. Maybe you just need to know that God knows and God cares. Maybe that's the only voice we need to hear. The whisper is saying, I love you. I am here for you. I know what you're going through. And I care. If you heard that, if you're going to your whispering spot and you're pleading for God, and you just heard God say, I know and I care, how would you leave that experience? I want the band to come up, and I want to tell a story that Rick Warren tells. He's a pastor at Saddleback in California. He said he was speaking at a prison, and there were 6,000 male prisoners there. And he says that he's losing their attention. So finally, he whips out a $50 bill, and he says, who wants this $50 bill? And everyone got their attention, and 6,000 hands go in the air. So he said, okay, and then he takes a little rip out of the $50 bill and said, all right, now who wants this $50 bill? 6,000 hands go in the air. And then he crumbles it in his hand so it gets all crumbly, and then he's like, all right, now who wants this $50 bill? And everyone, I still want it. Then he dips it in water, crumbles it, puts two more rips in it. Who wants this $50 bill still? Every hand goes in the air. And what Rick Warren says is that you have gone through a lot. You say maybe some of you had really bad dads. Maybe some of you feel like whatever got you here makes you feel that you are no value of God. But here's the thing, you are always valuable to God. No matter what you've done, no matter what you've gone through, God still values you the same. So you look down and you see a bunch of men crying. So no matter where you are, no matter how much or how little you know, God values you, God loves you, God knows you, God cares for you, and he is speaking to you. Would you take the time to listen? Some of you think, I've done too much. Why would God speak to me? Oh, because he loves you. He created you. He's still speaking. Are you listening? And he's not going to say anything new. He's not going to contradict what he's already said. He's just going to remind you over and over of his goodness, of his power, and who he is. Would you pray with me? Lord, we just pray, God, that you would just give us the prompting to have a change of pace and a change of place, to change our perspective and to hear the voice that you have to tell us. Lord, thank you for your words in Scripture. Thank you for the people who help us. Thank you for the Spirit who reveals your word, that illuminates the word that you've already revealed to us. So, Lord, I thank you, Jesus, a God who knows me, a God who loves me, and a God who is present. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.